Welcome to the show called Let's Talk Homeschool. I'm Davis, and I'm with Rachel, my lovely wife. We are your hosts. This is the show where we talk about everything homeschooling. The how, what, when, where, and why. We want to encourage and affirm your decision to homeschool. We also want to challenge and inspire you to take it to new heights. And finally, we want to celebrate everything you get to experience in this adventure of a lifetime. Welcome to episode number 56. Today's show is titled, You Can Do This, and It's Good for Your Kids. Okay, Rachel, let's talk homeschool. So most reports agree that the homeschooling community grew from 3 million to 6 million students this last August. Of course, COVID-19 and that pandemic was largely the catalyst for causing families to decide to give homeschooling a try last fall. We want to share two important messages with everyone today. The first is you can do this, and the second is it's good. It's really good for your kids.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, why are we trying to summarize lots of messages into those two points?
Well, because children really need their parents in this moment, and we have been taught over the last generation that parents really aren't the experts when it comes to their kids. The expertise of parenting has been stolen and given to people with initials behind their names, and parents are just sort of the stand-ins on a daily basis, but the real experts are out there, you know, but the parents can't really handle it. We can't really do it, and that's not true. Now, fundamentally, we believe in the God of the universe, the sovereign God of the universe, who orders everything, who spoke light into existence, who put the stars in place and the galaxies in orbit. And we believe that that is the same God who sent each one of our families the specific children that he gave us, not accidentally, not randomly, but on purpose.
Right.
And as someone who believes in that, I don't believe God is going to send me children that he's not going to give me the insight and the ability to educate for his glory.
Right. He's going to give parents everything they need to parent, train, and discipline their kids, which is
exactly
what parenting is.
That's exactly right.
And there's so many things that parents get confused on when it comes time for this magical age of 5, 6, or 7 to send their kids to school. And that is that the quote academics are all important. And how many kids do we know graduate and actually can't do much of the academics? But more than that, they have very little life skill.
Right.
They don't know how to navigate being in a new city. They don't know how to manage their time well. They don't know how to cook a meal, do their laundry, or just organize a day or go shopping for food. I mean, there's so many life skills that get neglected for the sake of quote academics.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, those kids, you'd hope, would get married and have a family of their own. And raising a family is an education in its own way.
Right. Well, and it's debilitating, though, too, isn't it? Right? When two individuals get married who don't have fundamental life skills, that's debilitating to them to even build a family. So I really think our culture has made it difficult for young people to get married because we've said that family isn't that important. We've taken families apart wherein, let's just take a typical American family. Father goes to one job, mother goes to another job, kids go to two different schools perhaps. And home isn't really a base. I mean, it's really a bunkhouse. I heard somebody use that phraseology the other day and I was like, yeah, that's really it. That's what we've made.
Yeah.
The home is really just a house.
A place to sleep.
It is. Where maybe there's provisions, maybe there's a raincoat and a pair of boots if you need them, maybe there's a PB&J if you need it. But that's not what God intended. No. God intended the home to be where we are together. And you know, I don't know if I can even remember the three words you said just a minute ago, but I think they're really important. I know I can remember two of them, training and disciplining of our children. Those are fundamental things that God gave us as parents to do with and for our children. Education is just a dimension of the training and disciplining. It's not like this something that has to be handled by experts. And that's one of the things I want to say about you can do this. I didn't know everything that my kids needed to know when we began this journey. Yeah. I wasn't some expert in every field that we've taught our children. There are many things that we've learned right alongside of our children. And that's been the glory of home educating, is been doing it together as a family. I think a lot of people are intimidated by the idea of homeschooling because they think, oh, I don't know everything. I never studied this. I never studied that. I never understood this. I never understood that. I can't. But it's not about that, Davis. It's really about taking God up on what he's already said and what he's already invited you to be a part of. And that's the discipleship of your children. And it includes teaching them at home.
Right. Well, and I think a lot of that leads to the why it's good for your kids.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't know how many in our audience had kids who had been already asking mom and dad to homeschool.
Oh, man, yeah.
Or potentially begging. Mm-hmm. And then the spring of 2020, when everybody was forced to shelter at home and you have this mandatory trial run of homeschooling, how many of those kids were so glad to be home, where they felt safe, where they weren't pushed and stressed in ways that especially young kids don't need to be, where it's unhealthy for them. Well, and their bodies naturally knew it.
Right.
They couldn't. They didn't know how to communicate that stress and frustration and a tiredness to parents or for others. And so homeschooling for kids is often just very natural.
Indeed.
So we often like to say that kids are naturally homeschooling kids. Not every parent is naturally a homeschooling parent.
Right.
But we can be taught.
You can be. And again, I don't know if people are maybe just joining us for the first time, but it is important to remember that neither of us wanted to do this. So I didn't start this. I mean, there are people, and some of them are friends of ours, who got married, and this is what they always wanted to do. They had this vision. In some instances, they had both been homeschooled. In some instances, they hadn't been. But the point is, we know people who got married, and this is what they wanted to do. And that was not our experience.
No.
And so I'm not touting something because this has always been my dream go-to.
Right.
This was not my dream go-to. And God did a lot of work on my heart when he called our son, our first son home, to do this. And what a ride it's been. But over and over, I've seen as we leaned in and took the next step of faith. And that's the glory of the journey of faith, isn't it, Davis? It's not like we're instantly there. It's one step at a time on a long road. And as we took the next step, God provided. He taught us. He showed us. He gave us resources. It's been remarkable how trusting God one day at a time, he is faithful.
Right. Well, and I don't want to diminish the importance of training and educating
sure.
your kids when they're young in the elementary school years. But let's face it, one of the best things for young kids is just the natural play that they involve in, the imaginative and creative exploration of their surroundings, indoors and outdoors.
Right.
And school totally takes that
away.
It does.
It steals it.
It is not their natural learning environment.
Mm-mm.
And so in many ways, the best thing for a young kid is just to be at home.
That's right.
School is one of the worst things for them.
Exactly, because it inhibits their creativity. It inhibits their ability to explore. It puts everything in a box. And kids don't do well that way. I mean, we've talked on this show before about the power of a pattern of the day or a rhythm of the day. That's not what you get in a school setting.
Right.
You get in the school setting, you get a regimented schedule with regimented scope and sequence. And everybody's doing the same thing.
Which is why a lot of those young boys feel imprisoned and don't function well
that's
in that
right.
kind of a structure.
And that's why we have a lot of young boys who unfortunately are criticized because they have all of this energy and all of this curiosity. And frankly, it doesn't have a place in today's modern school system.
Right. Now, one secret I will share with our listeners about the first half, you can do this, is that often you will probably not realize that you actually can do this until you come to that breaking point and realize you can't do this.
Exactly. Oh, that's so good. I'm so glad you said that. Yeah.
And that's where that walk of faith comes in that you were alluding to, that you need God.
You do.
We don't know how people homeschool without God. Some people try that, and it's possible in some regards. But I think one of the best experiences of homeschooling is when you are walking by faith, being forced to trust God, and coming to that place where you realize, I can't do this without God's help. And you know what? Then you're there. Then you're exactly where God wants you to be. And now you can finally do this.
Exactly. It's that surrender. It's that submission to His will and His way. It's that taking advantage of the opportunity to become more and more like Christ and less about yourself. That's really what this journey is. I had my young mothers group over just last night. I had seven young moms here, and it's one of my favorite things that I'm doing these days. And we were talking about this very thing, about the fact that marriage isn't of itself. It's formational, and it is
sanctifying
in really powerful ways. And you're so in love with this person, and okay. But I'm here to tell you, children are sanctifying on a whole different level, and then add the homeschooling where you're always together, right? They see your junk. They see your meltdowns. They see your character flaws. I mean, we're always so anxious to discuss their character flaws, right? But the reality is, we are excellent models of bad character also as parents. And so it's all right there in display. And in homeschooling, I'm gonna frame it this way. You get to deal with all of that junk on a daily basis. You can't sweep it under a rug. You don't get to hide or anything, because they're not going off with somebody else all day. They're with you. And I'm going to say to our listeners, that is a glorious thing. It is a glorious thing to be in the safety and the security of family relationships, where you can all endeavor to work together to become more and more like God's son.
Okay, so in January of 2020, there were 3 million homeschool students in the United States. In March and April of 2020, there were technically 60 million. Every United States student was in some form of home. They were either schooling at home or homeschooling. Then people were making that all important decision as we went through the summer of what's going to happen this fall. Where am I going to fall in terms of the decision of how to educate my kids? And 3 million additional students were added to the official homeschooling group.
Right.
These were not people that were doing public school online or school at home. They crossed the line to the homeschooling ranks, the homeschooling community, to do parent-directed education where they were in charge. Now, that's a huge number, meaning it doubled, went from 3 to 6 million, but there were many more who were probably on the fence and seriously considering it and either got cold feet, chickened out, or said, I'll take my chances with the public school again. And so I would venture to say that as you're listening to this right now, if you were one of those families who decided to stick it out and not cross the line, ask yourself why. Why did you make that decision? And are you happy with it now? Because here we are roughly in March, and people are making, you know, finding out what's going on with schools, and it's still pretty much craziness.
Right.
And so I want to encourage you with the message, you can do this, and homeschooling is really good for you and your kids.
Right.
You still have a chance. You can still make the decision to homeschool this next school year. Right now. I mean, you didn't have to wait till the fall, last March or April. If it's March or April now, you don't have to wait.
That's right.
You can step out in faith now on your own. And quite frankly, I would say that it's actually more liberating when you make that decision.
Exactly.
When you are proactive and intentional about it, and don't let somebody else do it to you.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Just listening to you say all that, I'm just reminded that stepping out and making the decision that you're going to home education is like this first step of liberation and freedom, right? And a lot of people don't know that. It's not like the health insurance decision that you have to make at a certain time of the year, right? It's a decision that you can make any time of the year. You are not beholden to any institution or governmental office anytime you can step out and make this decision to take your kids out of the government school system and educate them at home. But I think we need to say here very clearly that we don't want to be guilty. And I don't think we are in other podcasts, but certainly I want to make sure we say this today. We're not talking about this being easy.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Even though, yes, you can. And even though it's good for you and your children and your family, it doesn't make it easy. This is going to be a challenging road. But the rewards are so significant. It is so worth it. And that's what I want people to know. I think there were people, like you described a minute ago, like everybody had to in March of last year, right? And then in the fall, it was like, yeah, we're really going to. And oh, no, we're not. You know, people decided not to. I just want to say, you need to dig your heels in. There are so many things. It's remarkable to me how people will dig their heels in, what people will dig their heels in and say, I'm going to do this. Things that are far less worthy of digging your heels in.
Right.
Right? This is so worth it. These are your kids.
Right.
And I really believe that to dig your heels in, because you're submitting to holy, mighty God, that you're going to do this. You're going to figure it out. You're going to work with your spouse. You're going to work with your kids. You're going to constantly make changes and tweaks to your rhythm, to your curriculum, to your objectives, so that you can figure this out, because you can figure it out.
That's right.
And I was disheartened. So when school started back in North Carolina, I had to run an errand that day, and I saw this long line of moms, like, excited to drop their kids off. And I thought, why can't we dare to do what would be best for the kids?
Right.
All the time we talk about, we tout, you know, what's best for kids, what's best for kids, what's best for kids. Look, when they called the school system, guess what was best for everybody?
To be at home.
Home.
That's right.
So we all know intuitively, I mean, this was the mantra, home, 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 home is best.
That's right.
And there is a myriad of resources available to everyone to home educate your children. Reading lists are all over the web. There's resources. There's homeschool resource consignment stores. There's online resources. Apologia is a great resource.
Sure.
There's YouTube videos. There's teaching videos. You can do this, and there are ways to help you do it. You don't have to do this alone.
That's right. And one last comment I'll make on your previous statement about it not being easy is that there are stats that have been very consistent through the years that show that after the first year of homeschooling, 20% will quit and say, that was too hard, I can't do it, or whatever the reasons may be.
Mm-hmm.
After the second year of homeschooling, if they continue to that second year, another 20% will drop out.
Mm-hmm.
After the third year, 10%, and then the curve levels off, and you have roughly half of the people that started homeschooling continue after about 3 or 4 years, and they're, quote, in the club, as I like to say.
Well, but it takes that long to find your own rhythm.
Well, it does. And so the message that I want to say for the folks that are homeschooling for the very first year this year, and maybe you're finding it to be a rocky road. Our toughest year was the first year.
Yeah.
Our second toughest year was the second year.
Yeah.
And then our third year, we found our rhythm. And it was in that third year that we finally said, you know what? We're going to do this all the way to high school, all the way to completion, even though we couldn't see that. It was foreboding off into the future. But we had finally hit our stride enough to where we said, yeah, we can do this. And it's really good for our kids. So let's not give up. That's my message to all of you that are in your first year. If you're now rethinking this, don't be part of the 20% that stop after 1 year.
Right.
Be part of the 80 that keep going to that second year. And then stick with it through to the end of that second year. Go into the third, and I bet you'll stick with it.
Well, and I think part of that is actually taking the time to see the hands of God.
Right.
Because I'm going to tell you honestly, one of the main reason, I guess I would say, because I can't think of another one, although it was doing amazing things for our kids, I think that would be the second reason. The main reason I wanted to keep doing it is I got addicted to seeing God do amazing things.
That's true.
I mean, over and over and over again, I was blown away by the moments that God gave us as a family, the books that we read together, the relationships, the character that I saw growing, not just in my children, but in me. I mean, I saw I had moments of patience that I knew weren't me. It was literally God giving me patience in that moment. I saw my kids figure out A, apple, A. I saw kids be kind to each other. And I'm not talking about a fairy tale. I'm not talking about in complete perfection every day. But I'm telling you, it was enough, and it was regularly enough for me to go, I want to see that again.
Well, it is beautiful. It is a beautiful feeling, a wonderful feeling to see it in your own family, but to also hear those stories and see it happen in other families.
Yeah.
And I like to say that it's those moments when God is filling in gaps so big a school bus could drive right through it.
Yep.
All right, so it's time to bring this conversation to a close. So thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us next time. And if you like what you heard, please share it with your friends. This is Let's Talk Homeschool, and we are your hosts, Davis and Rachel Carmen. We want to thank our sponsor, Apologia Educational Ministries. Their mission is to help homeschooling families learn, live, and defend the Christian faith. Apologia is the number one publisher of creation-based science and Bible curricula for homeschooling families with over 110 number one awards covering a time span of more than 13 years in a row. Now that's impressive, but more importantly, that's why Apologia is trusted by homeschooling families all across the USA and the world. Go to apologia.com, a great place to explore creation. Have a great day, and until next time, we are walking by faith and enjoying the homeschooling adventure of a lifetime.